Praise God. Well, let's look at your sheet. For the sake of time, we're going to look at a few scriptures that we've already gone over. Well, let's go ahead and turn to Romans, and then we'll probably use the sheet for a few other things. But let's turn to Romans 8. That's kind of been our text. So let's turn over there. Romans 8, 14. Romans 8, 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God and daughters of God. So if we're led by God, we're sons and daughters of Him. That word led, I want to read a definition for you. It says, the word translated led is a present participle. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but these are things you can get in a study Bible or resources. It may be translated as many as are continually being led by the Spirit of God. As many as are continually being led by the Spirit of God. So God is continually leading His children. Continually. That means He's always sending out signals, if you will. He's always giving us direction. But we want to know how to discern that direction and want to know better how to hear His voice, know how He leads us. If we know some of these things, then we can walk more perfectly in His will. And like we said before, if we know what the will of God is. Now, the Word of God is the will of God. So you don't do anything outside the Word of God. We'll talk about that a little bit more probably today. But so we're not saying apart from the Word of God, but there's things that aren't in the Word of God, the written Word, for our life. The Word of God does not tell you where you should live geographically. It does not tell you whom you should marry. It doesn't tell you where you should work, right? Those things you have to get. Now, you use guidelines that are in the Word to determine, just like we're reading today, but it's not going to tell you, you know, marry Susie Joe, Susie whatever. Jackie, Joe, not going to tell you that. You have to discern, is this the right one? Well, nobody else can tell you either. Mommy, Daddy can't tell you. You know? Your pastor can't tell you, can give you input, but ultimately we need to be led for ourselves in our own lives because we have to live our lives. And nobody cares about your life like you do. Other people may love you, but ultimately, you can't ultimately depend on other people to do your seeking God for you. Because we're going to have to live our life. And other people can miss it. Anybody else can miss it. So we can't say, does that seem good to you? I mean, it's good to check things out, but we have to be led for ourselves. So that's what we're talking about. It's so vital. This is one of the most important things we could talk about. Because if we know the will of God and we're led in the will of God, then we can be where He wants us to be. That's where the fullness of blessing is. That's where the grace is going to be to do what He's called you to do. If He's called you to be over here and you're way over here, life isn't going to be the way it ought to be. It's not that God doesn't want it. Don't say, well, God's mad at me or God doesn't love me as much. No, God wants to bless you. But if He's telling you, go here, because this is the best thing for you, and you decide, I'm going here, and I'll just be just as blessed and happy. No, you won't. And it doesn't have anything to do. So people say, well, no, God's grace is sufficient, so I'll just be blessed wherever. No. No, not if he tells you to go here and says, this is what I want you to do, son or daughter, and this is the best thing for you. This is going to be the best use of your talents. This is where all the everything I have for you is laid out here. This is the person I want you to marry. This is the job I want you to have. This is what you're called to do. And you say, I believe I'll do this other thing. Now, why don't you help me and do this? Number one, we're in rebellion and disobedience. And then people say, well, I'll just be blessed anyway. No, the scripture does not teach that. God said, you go, you be obedient to what he's told us to do, and then there's fullness of joy there. Why would you want to be someplace else anyway? Really? Why would we want to try to test this theory out? Well, why would somebody argue about this? Think about it. Well, I just believe that you can be blessed anywhere. So you're saying you don't want to go where God tells you to go? Seriously, if somebody says Jesus is their Lord, and they're going to argue with you that I'm going to go do what God has not told me to do, and I'm going to be just, why would somebody argue with you about that? Unless they just don't have any intention of doing what God tells you to do, and they're trying to make an excuse and satisfy something that I'm going to be okay anyway. Why would you want to do that? If Jesus is our Lord, we want to be where he tells us to go, right? And he is such a merciful and gracious God, and he will. Now, I'm not telling you, you're doing the best you know to do, and you're in ignorance. He's going to work with you. But you know what to do? You want to do what he tells you to do. Amen. We want to do what he tells us to do. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. See, the Spirit bears witness with what? Our spirit. It didn't say he bears witness with your head. It didn't say he bears witness with your big toe. He says he bears witness with your spirit. So that's where we have to look to be led by him. We've talked about this somewhat about the spirit, soul, and body. We're going to just review quickly and then go on to some other things. Let's look on your sheet, on our sheets here, and read a few scriptures that we've gone over. If you missed some of the other messages, go back and listen to them, because we can't repeat everything that we've already said, or else we'll preach all those messages again. We'll be here till 2 o'clock. But we'll go over these quickly. But that's why those messages are there available for you, is to get what you missed. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Notice that. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. And a couple weeks ago, we went into depth in that. We talked about it last week, so I don't have time to... If that seems funny to you or strange, go back and listen to those messages. But we are a spirit. We have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. We live in a body. Our body is like our earth suit. It's how we get around here. You don't have a body? It means you're not walking around on the earth anymore. Does that mean you cease to exist? It just means you can't contact. I couldn't touch you. I can't shake your hand. But that doesn't mean I cease to exist, and I would be, out of this realm. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What part of you is the new creation? Your spirit, soul, or body? It's your spirit. Like we said, your body did not change when you got born again. You know, whatever your color your skin was when you got born again, same thing. However much hair you had, same way. Your eyes didn't change color. Your body didn't get newly created. Same thing with your mind. Thank God your mind didn't get newly created. You still had the same knowledge. For better or for worse, you had the same knowledge when you got born again. Your mind didn't become a blank slate, but if you had certain things embedded in your mind before you got born again, they were there, and they still are if you haven't done something to renew your mind, which is what we'll talk about in a minute. But your spirit became new. Your spirit was made a new creation, brand new. That's the part of us that is alive to God. No, not right now, afterwards. Our spirit is the part of us that's been renewed to God. And that's the part that we contact Him with. That doesn't mean you can't understand things by your, or that you can't worship Him with your mouth. You can't, you know, have your thoughts to Him. But the way you contact Him is your spirit. Romans 7:22, look on your sheet. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Your inward man wants to do and is in contact with the Lord. Your flesh will do what you tell it to do. It doesn't want to do the right thing necessarily. How many of you found that out? Your flesh will do what you make it do. Your flesh wants to have too much to eat. Your flesh would like to sit and watch TV all the time. Your flesh doesn't necessarily want to exercise. But you tell it to do something, it'll do it. It's basically what we do with our body. Our mind needs to be renewed. We'll talk about that. But our inward man is alive to God. Romans 7:22 in the Amplified Bible. For I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self with my new nature. For I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self with my new nature. Notice that? The new nature. Where's your new nature? It's your spirit. The part that's been recreated, that's your spirit. You delight in the law of God with your new nature. See, your spirit, your body has not been renewed. Your mind has not been renewed. Look at John. Well, let's turn over to John. John 4:22. We hadn't gone here yet. John 4:22. John 4:22. It says, you worship, we'll go back to verse 21. It says, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's read 23 and 24 again. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Notice that. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. That doesn't mean we don't worship. We can worship God on the outward. You know, you can raise your hands to the Lord, and that's biblical. We can sing praises to Him. We can worship Him with our mouth, but that's not. Those are just outward expressions of what's going on in the inside. Should be. Because you can go through all the motions. You could have the best music. You could have the nicest voices. And the person's heart be completely away from God. It's worship is not outward. It can be. It can be just outward and nothing is going on the inside. However, you could have somebody that had just even a poor voice. and not able to play anything very well, you know, bang on the guitar a little bit or something, but the heart is right and the anointing of God is present. Now, there's no reason you can't have both. But if you're going to choose one of the two, you want true worship in spirit. You do not want just all the outward show. I mean, the world has that. People that can sing. And there's people that have tried to say, well, I can do this in the natural. We're that way in the world and say, well, I'm going to use that for God. Only if God told you to use it. I don't care if you're the best singer out there and you get born again and say, well, now I'm going to sing for God. Only if God told you to do that, because you can sing, it would be the driest thing ever. Sound good to the natural ear, but spiritually dead. Nothing there. So no, we worship God. We don't get your eyes on the outward person. We communicate with God by our spirit. That's the part that's in contact with Him, that we hear Him with, that's alive to Him. Your spirit, your spirit is always alive to Him. You could be sleeping and wake up and your spirit's just communing with God, because your body's asleep. Your body's a machine. That's all it is. It just needs to be recharged. And when the machine wears out, it's going back to dust. So it needs rest, which is another thing. Don't negate your body or your mind. It needs rest. Just because we're spirit, and some people get the idea, well, I'm born again now, I'm a spirit. If you have some teaching along this line, I'll just pray all the time. I'll read the word. I don't need to do things in the natural. Might have a short life that way. I'll just go on 1 hour of sleep because, you know, got too much to do for God. Well, you better work fast, because it's not going to be long and you're not going to be on this earth to work for God anymore. Well, there's so much to do for God. Okay, God knows that, and He knows what we need to do, and He doesn't need it done next week. And there's more than just you working for Him. See, if the devil can't get you to sit in your chair and do nothing, you start moving, one of his next tactics is he's going to push you just to go, you know, to redline and do everything so that you'll burn out, so that you'll make a mess of your relationships, all in the name of God. You mess your kids up. You mess your job up because, you know, trying to go after the Lord, doing everything, it's a lie. It's not about us doing something for God. It's about God doing something through us on the earth. He knows what He needs to get done. And if He taps you on the shoulder and says, do this, then you know all you have to do is obey Him and go, okay, what would you like me to do, sir? And He's going to minister through you to touch somebody else. It's not you doing it for Him. It's a big difference. So don't you think He knows how to pace? If Jesus tarries, we're gonna all die. And His work will go on. And we'll watch from the grandstands. And a new generation of believers are going to take over. And, you know, the world survived before we were on the scene. We're not Jesus. Amen? It's all about Him. Our job is to rest and to do what He told us to do. We're not responsible. We're responsible to do what He told us to do. We're not responsible for making everybody bow the knee, because they won't. There are people that are going to hear the gospel and reject Him. But they heard it. And if you've done what you're told to do, then you go on. But we got to take care of our bodies as well. We're not just spirits. So let's turn over to Ephesians 4. Praise God. Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4, 20. It says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit. And the word spirit there means the attitude of your mind. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And what is that? That's your spirit. You have a spiritual nature. So we need to put that on. We need to do something in order to walk according to that nature. It's not automatic. It doesn't just happen just because you got born again. Even though you have the Spirit of the living God inside of you, even though your spirit's renewed to Him, we still need to do something. Verse 22 says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We need to renew our minds. So like we said, our minds, when we get born again, they are what they are. Whatever it got, your mind got programmed with as you were growing up in your experience, that's where you're at. And unless God supernaturally does something to break a habit or help you out of a habit, and that happens. But you know, if you've trained your body, you've trained your mind, you've trained your mind to think a certain way and you entertain certain thoughts, that's there when you get born again. And we need to do something to change that. We all have patterns of thinking. We get born again, we're a product of our environment, how we grew up, what we did with it, our temperament, all these things, and we're in a certain state, and our minds, has certain patterns in it. Now, just because we got the Spirit of the living God inside of us does not mean that all of a sudden all our thoughts are pure now. I wish it were like that, but it's not. If you had problems with certain types of thinking, if you get depressed a lot, habitually you go and think negatively a lot, then that's there when you get born again. If you have problems thinking thoughts you know you shouldn't think or that are against the Word of God, those things are going to be there. And people say, oh, people that are confused and don't know what the new birth is will say, I don't know if I'm born again because I just had this thought. Just because you had a thought doesn't mean you sinned. If you entertain the thought, that's when you enter into to crossing a line. But, you know, like one person said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. You know, you have a thought. So, what do you do with it? You have a thought, and it's like, where did that come from? Just cast it down and say, no. Shut up. Now, if you stop and go, start turning it around in your head, just turn it around a few times. Well, now you're just yielding to something. You're saying, okay, that sounds pretty good. You know you shouldn't go that way, but you're going to listen to the enemy. You're yielding to him. So you're giving him place, is what that means. Well, we do that long enough, that's going to be there. But we don't have to put up with that. We can shut that down and say, I'm not thinking that way anymore. You may have thoughts, problems with self-esteem. You have these thoughts that come across, I'm so stupid. See, it doesn't come in the third person. Usually, like, you're an idiot. It comes, I'm an idiot. The enemy knows how to talk first person. The thought will pop in, be like, I'm so stupid, I messed that up again. If you believe that, see, again, you could say, no, that doesn't apply to me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God is helping me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the greater one in me. And I don't care if it looks like I failed the natural. I'm coming up. I'm not going to do that again. And you can cast it off. Or you can say, yeah, that's true. I am stupid. I messed that up again. Darn it. And then spend the next 30 minutes rehearsing it. Of what you did. And how you're so stupid. Well, if you had a problem with that before you got born again, it's there. After you got born again. So what are we going to do with it? We have to reprogram our mind to think in line with the Word. We're going to reprogram our mind with the Word of God. And that's a process. There isn't one person walking the face of the earth that has a completely renewed mind. That's not a bad confession, that's just the truth. If you think you're that one, That does have a completely renewed mind. See me after church. We'll talk about it. Romans 12:1. Let's go over there. Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about bodies and mostly talk about the mind, but notice he said, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now notice, we'll just touch on this for a moment. It says, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice that. You present your body. The you, the inward man, the spirit, you present your body. You have a body. And when that body's gone, you're still there. Your body's in the grave. You know, I have a car that I got here and I drove this morning. But that's not me. And get out of the car. If I, you know, but at the same time, if you saw me driving down the street and you recognized me, you might say, there goes Jim. Well, you mean I'm in the car. You don't mean that's me. The car is me. Well, when you see somebody, you might say, you might see, if you saw me on the street just walk, you might say, there goes Jim. What you mean is, you're looking at my body, but the real me is inside. So I'm supposed to, the real me is supposed to do something with my body. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to present it a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I'm supposed to do something with my body. That means I'm supposed to keep it under. I'm supposed to tell it what to do. Because we could let our bodies rule us. Just even people, you know, any of us could let our bodies go. People say you just let yourself go. What does that mean? Let yourself do anything that you want to do. That's not a good place to be in. You let your completely body ruled, you know, your flesh will just do what it wants to do. And we don't want to do that. We want to put our flesh under. But I want to focus on the mind here. Verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to this world. What's that? Conform means like to be like. So, it's easy to be conformed to this world. All you have to do, just go to work, start acting like everybody else acts, start quoting what everybody else quotes, watch TV. TV in itself is not bad, but there is just very little actual good things on, you know, good programming on TV. You have to look for it in the general flow, the general, you know, cable and networks. Most of it is just complete trash now. I mean, and it is completely programming you and me, if we'll let it, to believe a certain way, and it's not godly. It is programming, and so if everybody's looking at this stuff, everybody's looking on the internet, seeing all the same ads, seeing all the same commercials, buying the same products, all this, it's a, people are conformed to a certain way. You hear it in the lingo. You see, hear it in pop culture. The way people talk. Movies portray a certain way. This is how you should behave. This is how you should act. This is how you should talk. Notice it doesn't point anybody to God. It doesn't say you should go to church. You should pray with your family. You should read your Bible. No, and we said this a few weeks ago, but bears repeating. What it shows you is a life that people look like they're happy and satisfied and content, and there's no God in sight. It's a lie showing that you can be happy and look at these smiling faces and they're wearing, you know, product X and they're going to destination Y, and aren't they happy? And there's no God about it. They don't need God, which you would be led to believe, and it's a lie. But all we have to do is just walk in life, go through all this stuff, and we'll be conformed. We'll start acting just like everybody else. Well, we hear some catchphrase starts being used, and pretty soon everybody's using the same thing. Everybody talks the same. Not that that's bad in and of itself, but it's going a certain way, and it's, you know, certain ways of thinking, things that are quote-unquote politically correct. Many times they're not godly. But it's this social pressure to behave a certain way, to think a certain way, and if you don't think that way, you're not like everybody else, and there's this peer pressure to behave that way. To what? To conform. But the Bible says what? Do not be conformed to the world. And how are we going to do that? How are we going to avoid being conformed to the world? But be transformed. That means changed into another thing. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of our mind. We need to renew our mind, change that thinking. So if we just let our minds being programmed every day by stuff, we need to be conscious of what's happening and not let some of that in, and now we have to replace it, our old thoughts, old ways, with what the Word says. If we see something, we have to be conscious of what we're being fed. And if we say, we hear something, somebody says something, we hear, see something in a movie, we see something on the news, and they say something, and we know the Word, and we say, wait, that contradicts the Word. I don't care who said it. It's wrong. And so what we have to do is make a conscious decision to say, I mean, it may be that we've thought a certain way for 20 years. And then one day we realize, we read a scripture, maybe we're reading, doing our devotions or reading the Word, and we see, that's wrong. You see it, has that ever happened to somebody? I mean, all of a sudden you read something and you go, that totally contradicts what I've been believing. Now we have a choice. We're going to keep doing what we've been doing, thinking the way we're thinking, or are we going to say, I'm changing that. I don't care that everybody I know thinks that way, or almost everybody. I'm not going to think that way. What is that? That's renewing our mind to say, that is wrong, this is right. Now, we're talking about this all in context of being led by the Spirit. Because we want to be led by our spirit, not our head. The more we reprogram our minds, see, your spirit may be saying, go do this. God is leading you to do something, but if your mind's unrenewed, it's having a major problem with the way God's leading you. Arguing against you, going, you want to do what? God is telling you to do what? That is totally, nobody would do that. Is that true? Is that true nobody would do it? Or is that just the way you thought and the way other people have thought that nobody would do it? But somebody that was following God and that was following the Word would do it. And the more we renew our mind to the Word, reprogram it, the less your mind is going to give us trouble with the way God is leading us, the easier it will be to be led by our spirit. So many times we can think, well, that's God, and it's just our flesh, or it's just our mind. And we have to discern, is that my spirit? Does it line up with the Word of God? First of all, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, throw it out. But if it could line up with the Word of God, but then it's like, well, is that God? Is that what God wants me to do? We have to check in our heart, not our head. Be led by our spirit, man. But our minds can give us fits. God can tell you to do something, and it doesn't make any sense to your natural mind. I'm not saying God's going to lead you out into left field all the time. But He will. I've walked with Him long enough to know He's going to tell you to do things that you don't understand completely, that aren't illogical, but to you, with your limited understanding, they might seem illogical. But like we've said before, if you saw the way God sees, you would say that's perfectly logical. But the more our mind is with the world, the harder time we're going to have shutting that mind off and syncing up with our spirit, because our mind's just going to give us fits. The more it's renewed, the more godly it is, we're going to say, see, the more you know of the Word, you're going to have examples that God showed this person to do stuff. God showed this person to do something, and they did it, and God came through. Now God's showing me this. He can do it. He can come through, and you're quicker to get in faith because you have the Word built into you. Well, you can look at it and say, yeah, but God will supply all my needs. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You know, somebody might look and say, that's just foolishness. But the more you know of the Word, the more you see, you can believe God. Because faith comes how? It comes by hearing. Do we have that scripture on there? It's the next one. Why don't you look on your sheet there? A couple of scriptures down, Romans 10, 13. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, the more word we hear, the more our faith is going to be increased. We're going to increase our faith. You renew, you're building faith into your spirit, but you're renewing your mind. And they work hand in hand. You want to go by your spirit all the time, but the more your mind has been reprogrammed, the less trouble you're going to have. Look on your sheet there. We had Hebrews 4:12. We read that before. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Sometimes you say, well, I don't know if that's my heart or my head. Get in the Word. Let the Word shine light on it. The more we look to that and say, God, your Word, if you don't know, sit on it. And this is where, we're not going to go into this much today, but speaking in tongues is so powerful. If you don't know what to do, you know what to do. People that have been here for a while, you know that. I've said that before. When you don't know what to do, you know what to do. You start speaking in tongues. And as you speak in tongues, things that your heart knows, you have a sense that God is leading you somewhere, but you just it's not clear. You're just like, there's something there, but your head just can't grasp it. Pray it out. Start praying in tongues. Your head can catch up to where you know. You have understanding. Things can come up to where you understand better where you're going. But if you're waffling between the two, don't make a move. Stay until you know the direction you ought to go. Praise God. So the more we're reading the Word, we're hearing the Word, we're renewing our mind. It's not just hearing it, though, like we prayed at the beginning. We have to do something with it. You know, you could hear the Word. You can know it's right. You can know what you need to change and do nothing with it. You can know that that's my problem. This is exactly what I need to change. This is the answer I've been wondering about, and do nothing and stay in the same condition. You know, people do it all the time because it's not always so easy to change. Is it? You got to put your flesh down, but by the grace of God, we can change. Don't ever use it as an excuse that that's just too hard, I can't do it. What you're doing is basically saying, God, this is too big for you, you can't help me. Renewing your mind is not always easy, but it's completely possible with the Spirit of the living God. So we need to just step, we just need to believe Him. Believe that His strength is sufficient. That when we're weak, we're strong. And say, God, I see that. I see that I'm supposed to change. Help me to do it. Help me to do it. I see that's my answer. I see I've been thinking wrong. I see where I'm supposed to change. Lord God, help me. Show me how to do it. Help me to do it. Help me to change. And His strength will be there. You have just a minute more? Do you guys? I was going to read a scripture, but if you're done, I'm done. Okay. Turn over to Ephesians 1. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians 1, verse 15. You can pray this way for yourself. We pray this for you guys. We pray this for the church on a regular basis. Verse 15, Ephesians 1, verse 15 says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Notice that. Light is truth. The Word of God is called light. It's called truth. And when the light comes, you see. You have understanding like you haven't before. When the Word of God's being preached, is going on right now, you're having understanding you haven't seen before, you haven't had before. Things become clear. Things can become clear. Like that you haven't seen for so long, and all of a sudden, you see it. But you can believe God, you can ask Him. This is a Holy Ghost-inspired prayer. You can pray this for you and your family. It says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." What's He saying? That we would get a hold of what Jesus has done for us, what His will is for us, what we're supposed to be doing, that we would see the risen Christ, that we would see what He's paid for us, how great the power is toward us. That's renewing your mind, building up the faith that's in your heart. You start to see. You start to know what He wants you to do. You see clearly the things that He has for you. Look on your sheet there in Colossians. It says, "For this reason," Colossians 1:9 says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." This is something you can pray more than once. See, they don't confuse. Not all prayer is the same. The prayer of faith is one thing. You pray the prayer of faith once and you believe God. Not all prayer is the prayer of faith. Okay, there are things that you can pray more than once. Do you bless your food when you sit down? Every time. Why don't you just say, "Well, I'm just going to pray now once for the rest of my life." Well, I don't think you have to pray in faith, right? You don't know what you're going to be served the rest of your life. You may find yourself in the middle of some country and they serve you something and that prayer you prayed 10 years ago doesn't cover this. You say, "God, I bless and sanctify this to the nourishment of my body, and no thing will harm me. Because I don't know what that's going to do, right? No, you can pray. You can pray when you set before you. Pray with your family. Sanctify, bless that food. You can pray for wisdom daily. Why don't you just pray for the rest of your life? Again, you don't know what you're going to face. You can't do it. You can't pray that in faith. Well, I'm just going to pray and cover everything. That's foolishness. You can't do it. But you can pray, I believe. Show me what to do today. Give me wisdom today. If you can pray that in faith, you'll have it. Well, here he says, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you. You can pray this more than once. And to ask that you may be filled. Because this is nobody's arrived in this. You don't see Jesus the way we ought to see Jesus yet. Well, our mind is being renewed. We're seeing it. And again, you can pray this for the time coming up so that you see more in the next coming days than you have in the past. And then you're praying and you're just seeing more and more. It's not a one-time thing. And to ask that you may be filled, notice this, with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. If you're filled with the knowledge of His will, are you led by the Spirit of God?
Yes.
Yes, you are. You start to see. You start to know. God wants us to do this, and I'm sure about it. And this is the way we're going to go when you do it with authority and confidence. You may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. As we renew our mind, as our eyes of our understanding are enlightened, we start to see more and more. We start to walk in His will more and more. We're quicker to discern what's our heart versus our head. Do you see that? And we just come up. And we're quick. We make decisions better. We walk with our spirit. We're quicker to say, that's my heart. That's my head. Shut up, head. We're walking this way. Shut up, flesh. We're walking this way. And we walk higher and higher and higher. That's the way God intends it. Amen.